Wednesday, May 3rd, 2023. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. I hope your week is going well. You are now halfway to that weekend. That's always a good thing. I cannot believe that it is already May, but I hope you, your family, your friends, you're all staying healthy right now. We are happy to have you here with us today. And you know, we have no time to waste today. We need to jump right in to a little bit of NBA news to start off the podcast today. As Philadelphia 76ers center Joel Embiid won the NBA's Most Valuable Player Award for the 2022-2023 season. That is what the NBA announced yesterday. Finally, picking up the prestigious trophy after finishing second the past two seasons. Of course, Embiid actually flipped it this year with a very dominant season. He finished ahead of Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic and ahead of Milwaukee Bucks forward Giannis Antetokounmpo for the league's top individual honor. You know, it had been a tight race throughout much of the season, but in the end, it really wasn't that tight. Joel Embiid grabbed 73 of the 100 available first place votes. Jokic got just 15 first place votes, and Antetokounmpo got 12. So this was a blowout in favor of Embiid. He wins. Hold on. Hold up. We got to stop. Didn't the Philadelphia 76ers just win a second round playoff game without Embiid even being in the lineup? How valuable are you when you beat the Celtics in game one, but the MVP didn't even play? Look, I get that the NBA writers are sick of saying Nikola Jokic is the MVP, but the Denver Nuggets are trying to survive like 5 minutes when Jokic just leaves to sit on the bench for a minute and get a rest. Meanwhile, the Sixers won a second-round playoff game without the most valuable player even in the lineup. I understand you didn't want to give Jokic three in a row. I get it. But don't tell me he's not the MVP, because he is. You know, I swear, the NBA is so broken. I guess this just fits in with the rest of the nonsense in that league. I don't even know what to say anymore. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every single week. I wrote an article this week a little bit about the Denver Nuggets and how they are winning playoff games. Also talked a little bit about the Colorado Avalanche and why their season is over. Wrote a little bit more about the Denver Broncos picking up some new pieces in the NFL draft. But if you go over to DailyDoseSports.com, we have links to the podcast. We have links to the video, and we have links to the Daily Dose gear. You need a t-shirt, need a sweatshirt, need a hoodie. Maybe you need, I don't know, a coffee mug. They have everything you need over there. Just go over to DailyDoseSports.com and check out what is going on over there. Hey, today on the show, we are doing something a little bit different. We are going to be joined by a few friends of the Dose to recap that 2023 NFL draft that took place over the weekend. Who were the real winners? Who were the real losers? Sure, it's probably way too early, but we are going to take a look at each of those. And in fact, we have so much to get to. We need to get over to our NFL draft recap right now. Joining us right now on the Daily Dose, we are bringing back some friends of the Dose to check in on the 2023 NFL draft and see if we can figure out who actually did well and see if we can figure out who maybe didn't do so well. Plus, we just might have a game involved as well. First up, we have Mike from Castle Rock, a Denver Broncos fan who was probably, like me, pretty bored. But welcome back to the Dose, Mike.
Good to be here. It's always fun. We always talk about how the NFL is a year-round venture, right? I mean, yeah. Now we're just going to be eagerly anticipating the schedule release in a week or two.
It's coming very, very quickly.
Mini camps around the corner. So, it's a year-round deal.
We also have the savvy veteran Utah U and Denver Broncos fan who is probably also very bored over the weekend. Larry from Centennial is stopping by again. Larry, thank you for joining us on Dose. We are glad to have you here.
Always good to be here, Clint. Yeah, draft is good with all the other stuff happening here. Although it takes some, you know, there's some competition.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Finally, we have a newcomer to the panel. He's been on the Dose a number of times. In fact, he goes back to the radio days. But Big Rob is out of town this week. So our friend Raymond from Washington, D.C. is joining us. He is a big Buffalo Bills fan who is never short on opinions. Welcome back to the Dose, Raymond.
Thank you, Clint. Being that I have the best team in the group. The draft was pretty good for us. So I'm looking forward to repeating.
Yeah, repeating what? We have a few things going on. We're going to play a game a little bit later. We're going to be looking at some winners. We're going to be looking at some losers, but it's going to be a great time, and we're going to be talking about the NFL draft. But before we get to that, it's been a somewhat busy offseason, maybe not quite as busy as it was last year, but we've had some players moving around. We've had some coaches moving around. Here are some of the bigger offseason stories. The Baltimore Ravens were finally able to reach a long-term deal with quarterback Lamar Jackson. In a span of like a month, Lamar went from saying he wanted out of Baltimore to signing the largest deal in Ravens history. People were saying Lamar's never going to get signed. He ended up getting a 5-year deal with the Ravens worth around $52 million a year. It also includes $185 million in guaranteed money. Mike, would you have given Lamar this kind of money?
What choice do you have in today's NFL, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's where it's going. He's got the largest contract in NFL history right now. Just wait. Burrow's going to break it. I mean, it's
for sure
where the NFL's going. I don't think – what other option do you have, right? He is – like him or not, he's a top 10 quarterback.
Sure he is.
You have to pay for a top-tier quarterback. It's just what it is. So, like it or not, you had to do it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know that he had a choice. I don't know where else you could go. There's nobody else like him that you could get. So I agree with you. I think you got to pay him. Now we've got to see, can he stay healthy? Can he actually be on the field and give them some bang for that buck? For the second time in 15 years, the Green Bay Packers traded an aging icon and it went to the New York Jets. Again, the Packers agreed to a deal this last week. Aaron Rodgers and the number 15 pick and a 2023 fifth round pick, I don't know, whatever, to the Jets. The Jets got some things in return. Bottom line is Aaron Rodgers is going to the New York Jets, which is really, really interesting because we thought maybe the Jets are a quarterback away, but I don't know if that's actually true. We're going to find out. Hey, that price tag, though, for Aaron is going to be a big hit on the cap for the Jets. Larry, do you like the move of the Jets going and getting Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, for the Jets, it's good. Although you don't know, right? I mean, there could be a little Russell Wilson in that trade. He's older, but I don't know that they had much of a choice. And, you know, to your question to Mike, you got to pay your quarterbacks. So, you know, there's just X amount of money goes to paying a quarterback. You might as well pay him. Roll the dice. I don't see any reason not to. If I'm the Jets, why not?
Well, you're right. You don't have anything else. God knows they sure don't have a quarterback on that roster. Raymond knows that quite well because his Bills beat the mess out of the Jets every time they see him these days. Finally, after years of dysfunction and zero production, owner Daniel Snyder has agreed to sell the Washington Commanders for $6 billion with a B dollars to a group led by Josh Harris. He's also the owner of the NBA's Philadelphia 76ers and the NHL's New Jersey Devils. Snyder was a complete and utter buffoon in every way possible. And I mean, that whole ownership group is still under investigation into like allegations of sexual harassment, executives on the team, including Snyder, by the way. There are also financial improprieties they say were going on. Raymond, you're back in the DC area. There had to be parades when it was announced this idiot was going to get out, right?
Yeah, people are definitely excited about him being gone. I, for one, enjoyed him being here.
I did too.
And Yeah. But now that he's gone, I feel like lately people really stopped watching Washington football.
Yeah.
And now that he's gone, they'll probably give him a chance. It's a rabid fan base. He'll give him a chance to kind of come back. But it's going to be a while because the team is trash. So they got a ways to go.
Yeah, they do. And that team, when they first got Riverboat Ron, I was looking at him going, okay, they got a couple pieces. And then you just see just the same stuff. He builds a decent defense. Offense is terrible. The defense ends up getting injured. It ends up being a mess. And they look like a mess right now. I still don't think they have any answers as far as actually on the field, but it's a step in the right direction to get a new owner. Okay, fellas, the 2023 NFL draft is now over. Is it way too early for us to judge winners and losers? Of course it is. Do we care? No, we don't care because we're going to do it any doggone way. I want to start off today by just looking at winners. If it's a winner team, a winner player, whatever you've got, I want to hear your biggest 2023 NFL draft winners. What do you have? Mike, let's start off with you. You're on my top left anyways. Who do you have? Big winner. Just give me one. Who is your winner of the NFL draft?
I got to go with the Philadelphia Bulldogs. I mean, Eagles. Yeah. My God, they're going to end up with, what, 7 starters on their offense and defense from the last 2 national champions?
Yes.
Wow. Getting Carter? What'd they get him at 9?
Yes. He might have been the best player in the draft.
Wow. Unbelievable. And then turn around and get Nolan Smith,
right,
who was supposed to be a mid-teens pick. They got him with number 30. I think they knocked it out of the park, and they didn't give up any capital to do it. It fell to them, and they knocked it out.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have Philadelphia as a big winner for me. It's insane when you think about what Philly is basically doing is they're saying, we're going to build our defense with Georgia players and we're going to build our offense with Alabama players.
Yeah.
I have a feeling you're going to be doing pretty well. Yeah, they're a big winner for me. Don't get me wrong. I don't want Jalen Carter driving me anywhere, but dude can flat out play, and that is a big, big win for them. Yeah, I've got Philly as a winner as well. Larry, you got any winners for us on this draft?
Other than Philadelphia, I guess, you know, if you're looking at a winner, you'd actually look at Seattle, who cashed in on a lot of picks.
Had a lot of picks, yes.
So if you can't evaluate the actual players that got drafted until a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, then you look at the teams who did as much as they possibly could to get a bunch of draft picks and sort it out all out later. So any team who, you know, stockpiled the draft picks and used them, not like Bill Belichick has done in the past, I consider a winner.
Well, and you make a good point because we're not going to know if these are great picks. I have no idea, but they got 10 picks.
Yeah.
I would hope you land on a couple of those. I mean, right, you had a million of them, most of them from Denver, but I would think that you had to get a couple of those right. Yeah. I think Seattle quantity, and then we'll find out if they got quality later. Yeah. Good point. Right. Raymond, who do you have as a big draft winner? What do you got?
Well, I'd have to, not to piggyback, but I have to go with Philadelphia too. They really, the moves they make, and then also adding Swift too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they already have a ton of running backs, but I think he's a pretty good one. He might be able to, maybe he might come out ahead of all the running backs they have. So Philadelphia, rich got richer.
Yeah, they did. And the Swift pickup is a good point because, again, like Mike said earlier too, they didn't really give up much for him. They kind of got him pretty easily, and he's a guy that might fit in there. I don't know what is wrong with Detroit, why they can't run the ball. Why can't Detroit get a running back since Barry Sanders? You'd think they could get somebody sometime. They always seem like they're struggling to find a good one. I thought Swift was a good pick back in the day when they got him. He's never really turned out there. So yeah, I would agree with you. Philly just kind of crushed the draft, and they seem to keep doing this. Remember, they got Jordan Davis last year. They got a couple of steals last year as well. The Nolan Smith pickup is a great pick this year. There's no way he should have been that low. And again, Jalen Carter wouldn't have been that low if not for some problems off the field. Raymond, you have some problems with the Eagles. What do you got?
No, I was just listening. I think the one of the things that you were talking about earlier is that these teams paying their quarterbacks. You know, Philly just paid their quarterback.
You're right.
And so it'll be interesting to see how these teams deal with, you know, now that you pay your quarterback, well, now does you, how do you feel your roster now? So I think with the Ravens, with these teams paired a quarterback, it's a little different. And with Cincinnati going to have to pay their quarterback too, you're not going to be able to have so much talent across the board when you got to pay your quarterback. So it'd be interesting to see what these teams look like.
Well, you're right. And especially with the way the Eagles are hitting the draft, they're going to have to pay all these guys in the next, 4 years? That's going to hurt. It's going to hurt a lot. I'm going to give you guys a winner. And, you know, if you had told us back in the day, like late 80s, early 90s, that we would see guys like Baker Mayfield, he's like 6 feet tall, Kyler Murray, he's like 4 feet tall, Tua Tagovailoa, 6 feet tall. And again, this year, Bryce Young, 5'10", little quarterbacks are winning right now. We would have never dreamed that would have happened. We grew up with the days of, you know, John Elway and Peyton Manning and Jeff George, big giant guys. You couldn't be under 6'2". Forget getting drafted at the top end of the draft. You wouldn't have even gotten picked. You would have gotten unpicked and had to sign as like a punt returner. You had no chance. I really believe that like Drew Brees and Russell Wilson kind of opened the door for smaller guys to at least get a chance. We'll see if they're good. We'll see if Bryce Young turns out. We would have never seen a little guy get drafted even back in our day. That just didn't happen. You didn't draft little guys. Little quarterbacks are getting a win. They're at least getting a chance. Mike, you're up. Got another winner for us?
Yeah, I really liked what Pittsburgh did.
I did too.
They got a top, if not the top, offensive tackle to help protect their young quarterback. And then pick up Joey Porter's kid. How crazy was that, right? And they didn't have to really do anything to get him. So they had a really solid draft. I liked what they did. Arizona, kind of, you know? I mean, they trade down, get another first-round pick for next year, and end up with the top offensive tackle as well.
Yeah.
Their draft capital next year is ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of teams did really well. There's just a couple that rise to the top, though.
Yeah, I really liked what Pittsburgh did, and they have a history of doing it well. You know who I really like is I like that gigantic tight end they got from Georgia, Darnell Washington. He's like 6'8 and 320 pounds. I don't know if he can run. Who cares? He's a wall at tight end. When he's in the game, you know they're probably going to run it. But, I mean, he's a giant guy. The Steelers managed to get a few people on defense as well. I like what the Steelers did as well. Larry, got another winner for us?
This goes out to Buffalo. I mean, they've drafted Dalton Kincaid. I mean, that's a good tight end out of Utah, right? So I don't know if there's anything else to be said. The talent keeps flowing from Utah to the NFL.
Except for that quarterback.
Trickling? I don't know about flowing, maybe trickling.
Except for that quarterback who is Cam Rising's back for his 17th year. But yes, other than that, no, I like what Buffalo did. I think you're right, Larry. I think Buffalo had a very, very good draft. I would imagine we can go to our local Buffalo resident and get a touch up on exactly what Buffalo did. But I really like that draft, and I really do like Kincaid. He is no joke, and he gives Josh Allen a bailout.
Yeah.
I don't know where to go. Security blanket. That could be very, very big for a Bills team.
Ball.
Yes, he can. And a Bills team this last year that we saw just kind of struggled at times. It seemed like Josh Allen, it was huge play. Or
hey, look, famine. if he can stay, if Kincaid can stay healthy, it'll keep Josh Allen from having to run, you know, having to bail out and run and get hit.
Yeah.
So he'll be looking for him. Absolutely.
Right. Raymond, I'm going to go straight to you because you know this Bills draft probably better than any of us. You got to be happy about what you got, though, don't you?
I'm definitely happy about like the trenches. I like the guard that we got out of Florida.
Yeah.
The Kincaid pick, actually, I feel like he's pretty similar to Dawson Knox.
Yeah.
And we just re-signed Dawson Knox for a bunch of money. And I don't know. The pick kind of irritated me, to be honest.
But hasn't Knox had some health issues, though?
No. We just don't.
You just don't use him?
We don't use him. Exactly. We don't throw to him any damn way. So we re-sign him for a bunch of money. And then we draft a tight end in the first round. We don't throw to tight ends. So obviously that's going to have to change, but it hasn't been a strength to this point going to tight ends. And we just paid a tight end a lot of money. So I'm kind of, I'm not really sure about the move, to be honest.
You're not totally sold on that?
No, but, you know, Kincaid looks like a good, you know, looks like he's pretty good and all, but he's pretty similar to a guy we already have. So well, I don't know.
Did you think you would take a look at a running back?
Well, I think the running back, if Robinson was available, I think we had our eye on him.
Yeah.
But other than that, we weren't going to make any moves for a running back or anything like that. So that doesn't surprise me. We weren't going to draft one in the first round if it wasn't Robinson. So I wasn't expecting us to go running back there. But I did expect us to go more protecting. Although, yeah, we did draft the guard from Florida and another offensive. I just really expect us to really fortify the trenches more and then try to look for a replacement for the big linebacker that we lost from Edmonds.
Sure.
And we did draft a guy, but he's really undersized.
He's undersized. You got Dorian Williams out of Tulane. Pretty athletic kid, not a very big kid. You did get Osiris Torrance out of Florida. You also got Justin Shorter out of Florida, wide receiver out of Florida.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, we never know until we see it. We see it. But when actually, you know, when I look at the draft, I'm as a Bill fan, I'm
Kincaid's going to be better than you think.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. I hope so. Maybe we'll come up with some new two tight end type sets and things like that.
Ask Bill Belichick. Ask Belichick for some advice.
Right.
Tell Bill Burr to ask him. What do you got, Larry?
I was just going to say it. Hopefully it'll change. I mean, they invested a lot in that pick. So if they don't kind of target that, then the pick makes absolutely no sense whatsoever.
Right,
and
they
made a terrible choice, right?
Well, but if you told me prior to the draft you could have got him at 25, I would have said there's no way.
Right.
He was a top 15 pick. I see some value in Kincaid. I actually like that pick. I'm going to give a winner to Green Bay Packers draft pick linebacker Lucas Van Ness. Actually, I'm not even going to give it to him. I'm going to give it to his dad. Did you see that disturbing video clip of Van Ness at home celebrating with his family and friends? When he gets selected, everybody's giving hugs. Everybody's like excited and crying and happy. Van Ness's very attractive girlfriend gets up to celebrate, gives his dad a hug. He smacks her booty, not once, smacks it twice, and enjoys it way too much. Now, I mean, say what you want. Dude is a winner. Dude is a winner. I'm going to assume he's not allowed to celebrate like Christmas that way. Probably not Thanksgiving. I would think Lucas would frown if dad smacks her butt like on New Year's Eve. But that was the perfect opportunity, and he took the chance, and he won. Yes, he's a dirty old pervert. He got away with it, and he won. So, yeah, I'm gonna give Lucas Van Ness's dad a winner. I'm also going to give a winner, and I'd like you guys' feedback on this, to Roger Goodell's chiropractor, because it seems that every single pick walks up on stage, picks him up, and flings him around like a rag doll.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that's a new trend. But it seems like it can't be good for Roger's back.
Well, Roger
be cracking all over the place.
Roger is 60 plus, right? And he's not a small guy either. So these guys are large human beings just kind of throwing him around. It is.
And they go up and they pick him up and they fling him around. Yeah, it's insane. But Roger's chiropractor, he's got to be putting his kids in Ivy League schools with the money he's making, because he is easily getting a ton of work off of that. And I have another winner that I want to throw out to you guys. And I don't understand this. Maybe you guys can explain this to me. I'm going to give a winner to every single team draft war room that I watched over the entire weekend. There were 259 total picks selected. And on every single one of them, without fail, the war rooms jumped around and celebrated like they were in a beer commercial. There was hugging. There was a lot of thumbs up. And it just felt so corny. It felt like I was watching one of those old like black and white shows about the NFL draft. The Minnesota Vikings have found themselves a brand new flanker back. And as you can see from the war room, they sure are excited about it. It's just, does anyone ever make a pick in the draft that they hate? That they're just like, I did not want him.
Never a ho-hum draft pick. They won the lottery every single pick.
Every single pick.
Yeah, it's true. Everybody does seem to have to. Yeah.
Somebody got a pick that they were like,
everybody always seems to get, you always get who exactly you, every team claims they always get who exactly they wanted. Everybody right. claims the same thing. Yeah.
Right. You have like an undersized quarterback from, I don't know, Dartmouth, and they're running around. Yes, he's still available. Did you think someone's going to take him? No one's taken him. He's horrible. Why in the world would you be celebrating that? It's like they told them, when you make your pick, everyone go around and jump around and be happy. And I'm like, really? You all got everybody you wanted?
I would love to see I would love to see a position coach stand up, slam his clipboard yes. on the desk, and walk out.
Well, here's what's funny, and you guys might remember this. Do you remember back in the day, the Denver Broncos take an unknown linebacker out of Kutztown State by the name of John Mobley, and Jimmy Johnson slams his stuff down, and he's mad. And I'm like, yes, that's what I want to see. Now, you know they've been told, I don't care who we draft.
Right.
Do not show loss. Do not show failure. And so they get some loser that they didn't want, that they were hoping the guy before that their pick is still there. He's gone. And they're like, oh, it's just it's so corny. It's so dumb. I don't understand it.
I really stupid. I know it's not a lot unlike my fantasy drafts, right? Where it gets to round.
Excellent point.
It gets to round eight, and everyone's just picking whoever they can as fast as they can, right? Regardless of who it is.
I'm gonna tell you guys a story. I don't do a lot of personal stories on the podcast, but I'm gonna tell you guys a story. Back in the day, I was involved coaching wise. I was involved in a league where you would go in. It was a freshman league, and it was in the summer, and you would go in and run a camp for these kids, for basketball players. They were like sixth to eighth grade or whatever. You'd run a camp, you would write down, like, there were 200 kids in this camp. So you're writing down, like, 86, he can shoot it, 94, he can run, he's a good athlete, like, 204, mom has a pizza stand, right? So then you would go have a draft, and you would have your league, and you would coach, and you would also ref. Well, we'd be doing the draft. And it got to a point where every single pick, you just go, well, I'm going to take 74. He's a real scrapper. I have no idea who this kid is. I literally have no idea. I don't even remember him. And so we just said he was a scrapper. So anytime you didn't know what about the kid, you would just say he's a scrapper. But I do literally remember one kid that we had in the notes. His mom and dad own a pizza restaurant. So he got snapped up in like the fifth round, even though he couldn't play a lick because he figured everybody'd get free pizza.
At least you know you're going to have pizza.
That's right. Worst case scenario, hey, can you tell your mom and dad to grab a couple of pies before the game? Yeah. All right. I've got one final winner. Every single college football season, we hear how the Big Ten is actually better. The ACC is better. The Big 12 is better. Somebody's better than the SEC for the 17th season in a row. The SEC had more players drafted than any other conference. They had 62 players drafted, which is actually down from last year of 65. But once again, the SEC is crushing the competition, and it is not even close. For those of you that follow the dose, you know that we bring in our panel of esteemed judges here. But we don't just bring some moron in off the street. We bring in very intelligent people. I'm not going to have guys on that can't talk football, can't talk the draft, can't figure out how to put a light switch cover on. I'm going to bring in smart people that understand football and they get things, right? Well, if you like sports trivia, and especially NFL draft trivia, then don't go anywhere because we are going to see if you can beat my esteemed panel here. I'm warning you. They're going to be tough to beat. But today, we are going to be looking at some very popular NFL quarterbacks, and we're going to be seeing if people know their alma maters. So where did each of these NFL quarterbacks go to college? I'm going to tell you right now, you have 10 seconds to give your answer, and I want eye contact. I don't want anybody doing this. Don't give me that crap. I know that old trick. That isn't going to work. I'm going to be keeping score. The winner is going to be going first. in our losers, because I know we have a bunch of losers. Okay, I'm going to start off, and I'm going to give you an easy pick, a couple of easy ones, and they're going to progressively get harder. Everybody ready? Is everybody ready for the trivia game?
I'm ready.
Let the games begin. Remember, you've got a 10-second count to get in your answer, and don't be cheating. Do not be looking at your phones or looking at your whatever. We don't want that. Mike, you're first up. I'm going to start off, like I said, with a few easy ones. Let you guys get warmed up, let you get into the groove. And then if we are tied at the end, I do have a couple of tiebreakers. We remember this guy winning Super Bowls with the Dallas Cowboys. He has one of the highest winning percentages in NFL quarterback history. But Mike, where did Roger Staubach go to college?
I believe he went to the Navy.
Did go to the Navy. Excellent job. You get an answer right. Moving right along, Raymond, I have you up next. And okay. I'm going to keep this easy. I'm going to keep this simple to start. But we know this player won the first two Super Bowls in history. He led the Green Bay Packers to Super Bowls 1 and 2 victories. Where did Bart Starr attend college?
You know, I wasn't alive then.
Neither was I.
Neither was I.
None of us were alive. You don't get that excuse.
Arkansas.
You were close, but no cigar. Bart Starr was a member of the Crimson Tide. Bart Starr went to Alabama. Wow. All right. Mike gets one right. Raymond is off. Larry, you are up. Again, starting easy. But our next guy was a late round draft pick, but he turned into the most decorated quarterback in NFL history. Where did Tom Brady attend college?
Michigan.
Did go to Michigan. All right. It's 1-1-0. Don't worry, Raymond. There is time to rally. Plenty of time. Time for a comeback. Okay, Mike, you're on Thank the hot you. Seat. This guy actually got his start in the USFL, but when it folded, he joined the team that had drafted him, and he became the greatest quarterback in Buffalo Bills history. I am not giving this question to Raymond. Mike, where did Jim Kelly go to college?
Miami?
He went to Miami. Well done. Mike's got two on the board. Raymond, you're back.
That was easy.
That was easy. But I'm giving you an easy one right now. Bart Starr was easy. This guy and his big giant head was one of the highest rated quarterbacks coming out of high school. He ended up being a number one draft pick. He ended up winning two Super Bowls with two different teams. Raymond, where did Peyton Manning go to college?
Well, Peyton went to Tennessee.
Thank you.
And he sucked when he was there.
You stop that.
Okay.
Well, he sucked against one team.
Yes, he did.
Larry, you've got your final easy one, and then I'm going to move on to a little more of the meeting ground. This guy used to be known as Joe Theismann when he was in high school, but in college, he changed the pronunciation to Theismann because it rhymed with Heisman. He never won the Heisman, but he did win a Super Bowl before suffering that brutal broken leg on Monday Night Football. Larry, where did Joe Theismann go to college?
I actually don't know where he went to college, so I'm going to say Georgia.
You are incorrect. Joe Theismann was a Notre Dame alum. Okay. Theismann went to Notre Dame. Okay, we're bumping the difficulty up just a little bit. But it's going to get harder. 2-1-1. Mike, we're bumping this up, and I have a guy that went to 4 Super Bowls, but he never won one. But I really feel like he was born in the wrong era, because Fran Tarkington with the Minnesota Vikings was really good. He was really athletic. I think he would have excelled in this era of the NFL. Where did Fran Tarkington go to college?
I have no clue on this one. I'm going to say USC.
Fran Tarkington? It was a Georgia Bulldog. Fran went to Georgia. Hey, the title is out there. You guys can get this because now it's 2-1-1. You can catch back up. Raymond, you're up next.
And feels, this like, next- all right. Feels like a playoff NHL shootout here.
It is. It's very much a shootout. You got to keep pace. You got to keep pace. Raymond, this next quarterback had no business ever being an NFL quarterback. He was completely out of football. He was bagging groceries, but he ended up leading the Los Angeles Rams to a title. He almost led the Arizona Cardinals to a Super Bowl. Where did Kurt Warner go to college?
I think Kurt Warner went to Northern Iowa.
He's back in the race, folks. Raymond comes through. Northern Iowa is correct.
Yeah.
Wow. You pulled that one out. Nicely done.
Yeah.
Larry, you're on the clock. And I'm going to name it. Okay. I'm going to give you a guy probably not thought of as being a great quarterback. And yet he's one of the few guys in the history of the NFL that won the Heisman, was drafted number one, and won not one, but two Super Bowls while with the Los Angeles Raiders. Where did Jim Plunkett go to college?
USC.
Oh, you were close. You are close.
UCLA.
Stanford. He was a member of the Stanford Cardinal. Jim Plunkett had two blind parents. So
that's right.
I don't know if that does anything for you, but he did. All right. Moving on. Mike, you are back up. It is tied. Raymond and Mike at two, Larry at one. So this is all within striking distance. Mike, we have another guy that will never be remembered as an all-time great, but he did win a Super Bowl. Granted, he didn't really do that much because he had one of the greatest defenses in NFL history. But Trent Dilfer did win a Super Bowl. Where did Mr. Dilfer go to college?
Boy, these are getting tough.
It's going to get worse.
It's going to get worse. Trent Dilfer, Auburn. I have no idea.
Raymond, do you know this one?
I feel like, didn't he go to like Fresno State or?
Nailed it. Fresno State. You were correct on that one. Yep. He was a Fresno State Bulldog. And you know, the only reason I remember where Dilfer went to college, you might remember one year, the University of Colorado playing Fresno and Trent Dilfer on like Christmas Day. And I think Dilfer lit them up. But yeah, he was a member of Fresno State. No points awarded on that one, but
I don't get the points.
Nah, because you'll get this next one. Maybe I don't know. Raymond, you are up next, and our next quarterback might look like Bert from Sesame Street. He's another guy got a lot of help from his defense and from stupid idiot Broncos safety Raheem Moore. But Raymond, Joe Flacco did win a Super Bowl. He was even named the game's MVP. Where did Joe Flacco attend college?
Did Joe Flacco, did he go to Delaware?
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Raymond takes the lead.
Yes,
Delaware.
He
was a blue hen.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco is Delaware, and you are correct. Raymond takes the lead. All right, Larry, you got your chance to get back in this right now. We go to one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. This guy was so innovative. He is the first guy to ever have timing routes. He's the first guy to ever run the two-minute drill. He was doing this stuff back in the 60s.
You're living in the past, man. You hung up on some clown from the 60s, man.
He won three Super Bowls. He actually wanted to go to Notre Dame, so I'll give you a hint. He didn't go to Notre Dame because head coach Frank Leahy said he was too skinny. He would get killed if he played for Notre Dame. Where did Johnny Unitas go to college?
The quarter, he went to the quarterback Mecca, Northern Illinois.
Excellent guess. Incorrect. Anybody got Johnny U? Who's got Johnny U? Anyone?
I don't know.
Penn State, I don't know.
Louisville. Army. He was a Louisville Cardinal. When he couldn't go to Notre Dame, he took that one away and he went to Louisville instead. Okay. I'm not going to lie. It's going to get tough here. I know I've been lobbing up softballs to you guys. I got to make things a little bit tougher. Mike, you have two left. Once again, difficulty going up. We go back to an old timer. This guy was voted the league's MVP back in the 60s. Y.A. Tittle was a seven-time Pro Bowler. He played for the Baltimore Colts, played for the San Francisco 49ers, played for the New York Giants. Never won a title, but he's considered one of the best quarterbacks ever. Where in the world did Y.A. Tittle go to school?
Good God. Now you at least got a conference. Of course, in the 60s, they're all probably different conferences than the
That's Aaron. True.
Y.A. Tittle. Let's say University of Texas.
Not far off. He went to LSU. Y.A. Tittle was an LSU boy. You might remember. Well, you won't remember, but you might have read somewhere that he was on the cover with his head bleeding. One of the most famous photographs ever in NFL history. Raymond, you're up next. This guy didn't just win a Super Bowl. He did it on nearly a perfect day in Super Bowl 21 against my beloved Denver Broncos. New York Giants quarterback Phil Simms went an incredible 22 of 25, 268 yards, 3 touchdowns. He has since gone on to be a terrible NFL commentator. But Raymond, where did Phil Simms go to college?
Ooh, I don't know. Hofstra, I don't know.
That's actually a really good guess. He went to Morehead State. Yes, the T-shirt that we all wanted and never got. Morehead State comes in. All right, Larry, this is you still got two chances. You still got a shot at this thing. But I'm going to give you a tough one. I'm not going to lie. Okay. This guy played for the Washington Redskins. They were not the Commanders. He set 13 NFL records at 3 different positions: quarterback, punter, and defensive back. So you know it's modern times. He still holds the record for most seasons leading the league in passing. He had 6 of them. That's tied with Steve Young. He also retired with the NFL record for highest punting average. Dude averaged 45 yards a punt. Slaying Sammy Baugh, won 2 titles in Washington. It's considered to be one of the greatest ever. Larry, where did Sammy Baugh go to college?
Oklahoma.
Gosh, you guys are getting so close. He was TCU. He was a horned frog. You're right in the ballpark. Okay, we are down to the final question.
Haven't I won?
No, you're up 3-2-1.
No, this round is triple points. So,
okay, this round is triple points. Larry, so Collins.
I shall proceed to get triple zero.
Mike, you're up. We reach your final alma mater test. This next player played 14 seasons in the NFL, played for Washington. In fact, he won a Super Bowl with him back in 91 over Raymond's Buffalo Bills. He didn't throw very pretty passes, but he was really accurate throwing the deep ball. And his son is actually now on the Denver Broncos roster. Where did Mark Rippon go to college?
Can I phone a friend?
No.
Oregon.
Man, you guys get the general direction so close.
Half a point.
Washington State.
I got the conference.
You did get the conference. All right. Mike finishes with 2 points. 2 points for Mike. Raymond, your final trivia question. And you know this. You know this guy. He was a part of one of the most memorable Super Bowls in history. He was drafted by the New York Giants, but he had to be the backup behind Phil Simms. But when Simms went down with an injury, Jeff Hostetler took over, led the Giants to a Super Bowl. He didn't do a whole lot. It was mostly O.J. Anderson, but he got a Super Bowl win over your Bills in Super Bowl 25 in one of the greatest games in history. Where did Jeff Hostetler go to college?
North Carolina State, I don't know.
Goodness, if you'd have pulled that out. Again, I don't know how you guys are getting the geographical era. West Virginia. It was West Virginia. My goodness. All right, Larry. Triple points. Larry, you could win it. You could win the whole thing right here.
I could take the trophy home.
You can, and I got one for you. This is gettable.
I think the trophy's over your left shoulder.
It is, if you guys would like to.
No, I mean Larry's left shoulder.
Oh, Larry's? Oh, yeah, I've actually got a trophy. Larry, you have some sort of a stick man behind you. What's going on there?
That's Don Quixote, man. I mean, he's just back there.
Where's the windmill? Never mind. You have the final question. And if you get this, you win the whole thing. We recently just lost this guy last year, but he played in the NFL and also the AFL for 19 seasons. After spending a little time with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cleveland Browns, he led the Kansas City Chiefs to a Super Bowl win back in Super Bowl IV. Not only was this guy a great quarterback, he was also well known for smoking heaters in the locker room after games, which is just epic. Larry, where did Len Dawson go to college?
Len Dawson went to Wisconsin.
Len Dawson went to Purdue, and Raymond is our champion.
No surprise there.
Raymond wins 3-2-1.
Congratulations, Raymond.
Okay. We've talked about winners of the 2023 NFL draft. We have talked about Don Quixote. We have talked about some NFL trivia and who knows alma maters, but it wouldn't be any fun if we only talked about the good news, right? We need to look at the other side. Who are the losers of this year's NFL draft? And trust me, we have plenty of losers to go around. Raymond, you won our trivia contest. Who's your biggest loser of the 2023 NFL draft?
Well, I guess you can go with the Dolphins, the Patriots, and the Jets as the biggest losers in the draft because they don't have Josh Allen. So
no, that's fair.
Yeah, that's what everybody was searching to get better at quarterback, and nobody did. So we still won the AFC East. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm gonna kind of piggyback on what you said because don't you have to give a huge loser to Mac Jones, the Patriots quarterback? Like, it's already tough to beat him. He's trying to replace Brady. He's got to deal with Bill Belichick, who's yelling at him every chance he gets. And then you go into the draft just begging, can you please give me something? Give me an offensive lineman. Give me a receiver. Give me a running back. And Bill Belichick takes a cornerback, a defensive lineman, and a linebacker with his first three picks.
Yeah.
The defense was okay. There were days that Mac Jones had like 65 yards of total offense. He's like, please give me something. And then on top of it, Bill Belichick had the unmitigated gall to take a kicker in the fourth round. Mac Jones has to hate his coach's guts. I'll go with Raymond on that one. Mac Jones is a loser, but the Dolphins are losers to me. I didn't think they did much. The Jets got Aaron Rodgers, but I don't know if that's all that valuable. So, yeah, I'll go with that. Mike, got any losers for us today?
I agree with Miami. Didn't they have only like 4 or 5 picks or something? I mean, yeah. It was a very sparse draft for them. Washington, I don't know if they helped themselves at all.
No, I would agree with that.
Oddly enough, it was partly because they didn't have any first or second round picks. Seems familiar. I don't know if the Niners did very well, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was disappointed in them, and they usually do a decent job. But yeah,
that's why it's surprising for me to say sure. That. You have your usuals. You know, Pittsburgh usually drafts well. Baltimore usually drafts well. San Francisco's usually one that's up there. I just didn't get a good feeling of. Of course, you know, when J.J. Watt was drafted, he was booed. So who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Yeah, you're right.
What's gonna turn out of this draft. So I don't know. A lot of people didn't like what Detroit did. Atlanta took a big chance taking a running back that high with all the holes they've got to fill.
They didn't need, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
Larry, what do you got? You got any big losers in this draft?
Yeah, Mike kind of stole my pick there with Atlanta. I mean, I don't know what they're doing down there, and you know, kind of associated to that or running backs in general, man, how much have they kind of just fallen off of the draft map?
Yep.
You know, so surprised that he did get picked as high as he did, but it was Atlanta that picked him. Right. So you don't really know what's going on there. And the 49ers from all accounts didn't do as well as they have in the past.
Agreed.
Right. So they killed it. And then, you know, going with my who did the best, Well, the Broncos didn't, you know, kind of the worst. They didn't have a lot of picks.
Right.
And had to maneuver around to get what they got. So if you don't have that many picks, chances are there's not a lot that are going to, you know, rise to the top. And so they're going to struggle. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to give a loser, and I'm going to give it to the Denver Bronco fans because I like some of what the Broncos did. I really like Marvin Mims. I think he can come in and be maybe an Emmanuel Sanders type of receiver. But because of the Russell Wilson trade and because of the Sean Payton deal, we didn't hardly have any picks. We didn't have anything until the second round. We had five total picks completely. Forget that. We knew going in we weren't going to have many picks. We had to watch those horrible Kansas City Chiefs strutting around and their fans just living their best life and enjoying their success, which just makes me feel sick to my stomach every single time I see it. Ugh, whatever.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's tough, tough to watch.
Tough to watch that for sure, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
We definitely agree there, despising the Chiefs fans. I kept thinking to myself, though, there are a lot of people that want to sit down. I kept thinking when I was watching that, you know, there are no seats. So
you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. They're all just like looking around like.
Yeah.
I guess exactly. I'll just stand for a few more hours. I've only been on my feet 8 hours. I guess I'll just stand longer.
Right.
Yeah. The draft itself is kind of getting crazy. Just the spectacle of it all and all that. It is kind of getting crazy. I have a loser here, and you guys can tell me if I'm crazy, but every year we hear these silly draft experts and they say, like, they have a cliche and it's like he's a high motor guy or he passes the eye test or whatever. But one cliche he's a scrapper. Yeah, I've used that one before. One cliche that I hate is if you see a guy you like, you need to go get him. Like, we like this guy. So even though he's like a fourth rounder, we spent a first rounder on him. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. That is such dumb logic. If you want a 57 Chevy and they're both in the same condition, one's $2 million and one's $2,000. You get the $2,000 ones because it has more value. It's the same thing in the NFL draft. Don't try to tell me, hey, I really wanted this guy. I could have got him in the fourth round, but instead I got him in the first. Then you're an idiot. Don't tell me go get him because you wanted him. Draft picks have value. If you overspend, you're losing that value. Like Larry brought it up earlier. The Lions, they go get a running back that they could have gotten probably in the third round, and they go get an inside linebacker that they pretty much got in the fourth round, and then they tell us, well, that was our guy. Well, then you're dumb if that was your guy. That's stupid business. I hate to say this because I really like Florida quarterback Anthony Richardson. I think he's a great kid. I think he's got a ton of intangibles. I think he's really smart. I really like his athleticism.
Big dude.
There's no way he is
the
number
one. Worth that pick.
There's no way. If they are thinking he is going to be a John Elway type, I got bad news for Colts fans. I watched every game of that kid's college career. He's going to throw a lot of balls in the dirt, and you're going to be real upset. Because for all the LSU games and like the one game against Utah, we also had games like Kentucky and games where he just couldn't make a play. He's so athletic, and he's such a nice kid, but my God, he's not an NFL passer yet. It's going to be tough.
Well, and Josh Allen's aren't the norm.
No, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
It almost feels like there's too much time given to these, you know, the talent scouts and everybody else, the GMs.
Yeah.
We have to evaluate all this. It's so overthought by the time the draft comes around. They've either talked themselves into, you know, a number of things or talked themselves out of it, but they're in way too deep and can't, you know, what do they say? Can't see the forest through the trees. By the time the draft comes around, they get all excited. There's a run on players and they got to jump in or something like that. But, you know, from an outsider, it's kind of clear to see, at least, you know, from if you're just a casual observer,
right,
where the reaches are. And if I can see it and everybody else can see it, then you got to wonder, you know, what these guys are doing on the backside.
Well, and we all remember, you know, guys like Dontari Poe, who came out of a small school, but at the combine, he tested through the roof.
He's a freak athlete.
Yes. I don't care about the combine. Can he play? And I watched the film and said, that kid can't play. He's not that good. And the Chiefs went out wasted a pick on him. He ended up bouncing around. He wasn't a player. Don't fall in love at the combine. That is not where players are. It's not the same thing. Raymond, to your point about Josh Allen, combine guy, yeah, decent combine. But if you watched him at Wyoming, you saw a kid that could play. There's a big difference between that and how fast he can swim or whatever stupid thing they do at the combine.
Well, you also, though, you also saw his how inaccurate he was.
At
and,
times.
You know, he really worked hard and got better at it.
Yes, he did. And that is my hope for Anthony Richardson. Yeah. I hope that he gets in with a coach that will bring him up to speed, because he doesn't look like that to me. He's really athletic. I love the kid. But he just
– he's a guy you want on your team, but geez.
For sure.
Is he
– Number four?
Right. That's tough.
Anybody else got any losers? If you have a loser, I will take a loser right now. Who are your losers? Because we're all going to say one same person, right? We're all going to say Kentucky quarterback Will Levis, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, the guy's probably a great guy, but if it weren't for guys like that, then the draft would be no fun at all, right? For us.
Totally.
And hey, I'm not the one who decided to put it on TV. So that's the drama. And he just was the one this year, right? That kept falling and falling and falling. I thought his mom was going to have an aneurysm there for a little bit. So, yeah.
You know, we talked about this a little bit last week. It is part of the TV show that is the NFL draft to see guys suffering and see Brady Quinn or Aaron Rodgers sitting in the green room. Just their life is flashing before their eyes. And we're just sitting at home giggling like little kids.
That's entertaining.
It is. I hate to say, but it's like watching a car crash. You're going to tell me not to look. I'm going to watch.
Right.
Yeah. Here's the worst part. Because one, he fell. He dropped. Okay, that's sad. Like, that's tough to deal with. And you saw this kid who said he didn't want to go to the draft, but he thought he would be a first-round pick, so he went. That's tough. Here's where it gets worse. One, he went to a team where everyone was like, well, now he's in a better situation. He didn't go to a bad team. He went to Tennessee. That team is a dumpster fire right now. I don't want anything to do with Tennessee, so I don't even agree with that. Because he is basically – going to have to play when Ryan Tannehill gets hurt, who is going to get hurt because he always gets hurt. Malik Willis, what do you do with him? Just throw him out? He looked terrible last year, but you can't just toss him. Here's another problem. Will Levis's smoke show girlfriend sitting next to him, she kind of looked like she was sizing up some other people. I'm just guessing, but she was like, oh, he got drafted. Hey, Will, best of luck, but it looks like it's going bad for you real, real fast. That was rough to watch. Will Levis is definitely a loser there. If you've got any other losers, we'll take them. Or you've got any Will Levis anecdotes, we'll take those too.
Well, the only other losers are us for when it comes around to watching the section where the teams put up somebody to make the announcements for them.
Yeah.
Just hard to watch. It's their 15 minutes of fame, and they're
exactly right.
It's not good.
But if I have to hear "Let's go" one more time,
right? Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, that's brutal. And come up and be original. Come up and say something intelligent. I do like when they come up and they like mess with a different fan base. I think that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they're not very smart. They're not very creative, so they just go up and yell "Let's go" a lot. Which I don't really understand a whole lot. Right. I have one final loser. And if anybody has another loser to throw in here, I'm glad to take it. If not, we'll wind this up. But does anybody have one more loser for us? If you got a loser, let's have it.
I think the Raiders performed their annual first round reach again.
I would agree. No, you're exactly right, Mike.
Classic Raiders.
I mean, I don't know if it's as much of a reach as Clelin Ferrell, but it was a reach.
Well, if you wanted a guy that you said, hey, he could have a really high ceiling, he could have a really low basement, Texas Tech edge rusher, Tyree Wilson. No, he's that guy. Because I don't have a clue. He might be a player. He has injury concerns. And he's not a consistent player, so it fits perfectly with what the Raiders do, because that's who they take. It's that's so strange. There were so many good players on the board still, Now, who expected them to take like a really fast wide receiver that couldn't catch though? Honestly, I did.
Right. Yeah. Haven't seen that before.
I'm just glad they didn't get Jalen Carter.
Right, because you know how that story would have ended. It would have ended outside of Vegas in a fiery pileup is how that would have ended. I have one more loser and I'll lob it out there. Not only did the Green Bay Packers draft a weapon in the first round, they went and got an Oregon State tight end that you know Aaron Rodgers would have killed for, but then the New York Jets passed up on getting him help. Yeah. And there were guys like Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Jordan Addison still on the board. They went and got a linebacker out of Iowa State.
Yeah.
Who already have a defense in the Jets. Aaron needs weapons. They didn't get him. And, you know, we always thought this is a Packers thing. The Packers hate Rodgers. I don't know why. They just do. Turns out everyone hates Rodgers and no one wants to draft him help ever. Aaron Rodgers is a huge loser in this NFL draft.
Yeah. And you got to wonder, right? On one hand, it's like, okay, he's on our team now. We're paying the nut. He's good enough to figure it out with additional weapons.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So he's going to have to go earn his paycheck, but it does keep happening to him.
Over
so
and over.
Yeah. Yeah. You almost get the feeling like they're, you know, they're holding against him that they had to give so much up and he can just, he'll just have to figure it out. Right.
He better figure it out. But why in the world would you not give him any help? I
that was considering how good the Jets defense.
Yes. Already was.
Is. Yeah. And even Aaron Rodgers did not go to New York, they need help on offense. Back.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. That was. Yeah.
So confusing. I didn't get it.
How's their it's their running back, right? Is he
well because he's coming back off the knee injury. So
Breece Hall.
Yeah. And I liked him a lot, but that was not a early season injury. That was about midway through.
Right.
There's no way he's gonna be back for the start.
So
we're gonna see Aaron Rodgers look real similar to the way he looked last year in Green Bay, aren't we?
I think so.
Just and
slightly warmer, maybe, but just
Well, Raymond, you get another easy win. That division is so weird.
You know, and it's so funny because the Jets really gave us some tough games last
year. Yes,
like,
they did.
Had some offense last year. They were a problem. They're the team in our division that I would say played us the toughest. Our two games against the Jets were really tough.
Yeah.
And just to see that, I was thinking, I was kind of worried with Aaron Rodgers coming in, but then I'm like looking at the moves that they make, and I'm like, it's like they're not serious. Like, be all in, you would think.
Right.
But
right.
Whatever.
Yeah. You went and got the guy that you thought was the cornerstone. Now support him and let's see where this goes. And they went and drafted.
Works for me.
All right. Let's finish this up. The 2023 NFL draft is now complete. Most all of the big name free agents have been signed. And the next big thing in the NFL is going to be training camps. Opening in late July, and that is going to be here before we know it. We'll be off and running on another NFL season. I am looking forward to talking to each of you as another season does draw closer. I always appreciate you guys coming by, but we need to sign off. We need to finish this up. Raymond, this is the first time you joined in this fashion on a panel type show like this. What final thoughts do you have today on the Daily Dose Force?
Well, I'm glad that on the panel, I have the best team on the panel.
That's a low bar though, Raymond.
Everybody's undefeated right now.
Exactly. Draft day, everyone has hope.
Really looking forward, of course, to the NFL. But you know, us being Denver folks, I'm really fired up about the Nuggets. I really haven't been as locked in with the NFL as I normally am because the Nuggets are playing so well.
Agreed. So, agreed. And it's been really fun to watch that. Yeah.
Yeah. So just another off season. And looking forward to going undefeated with the Bills again.
Yeah, no. So every single year, going back to the late 90s, I think, Raymond has bet his life to me that the Bills would both win the Super Bowl and go undefeated. I now own like 47 of Raymond's lives. It's basically the bottom line on this, which is why if I ask Raymond to come on the podcast, he has to come on because I own his life. So we have that.
But all, in all seriousness, our window is still very much open in Buffalo.
Oh, I would agree.
So I'm looking forward to next season big time. Yes. Yeah.
Here's the question for the other two on the panel, Mike and Larry. Do we jinx the Bills this next year by picking them to win the Super Bowl?
Oh, they're going.
We have powers.
I had them the last 2 years, so I think I jinxed them the last 2 years.
Raymond, you better hope we don't go anywhere near that.
Yeah, who knew? All right, Mike.
All right. Mike, any final thoughts for us now that the NFL draft is complete?
Well, no, you know, like we were talking about earlier, the schedule's coming out here in a couple of weeks, and it's hilarious how that's overhyped. I mean, literally, all you got to do is hit enter and put it on a website, and they got to make a whole show of it and analyze it for 3 hours on two different networks and whatever. But I mean, it's always fun to see who's going to play where and when. When and things like that. But like Raymond mentioned, you know, around here we're fortunate right now. We're two of our other major franchises are hoping to make deep runs in the playoffs. So it bides the time for us.
Let me ask you this. And I think everyone here is kind of on the same page. We're all kind of rooting for our Denver Nuggets. If not this year, then when? Because it sure feels like the window is open for that team to make a deep run and possibly win it. They have the pieces. Mike Malone really scares me. Obviously you got to stay healthy. But, like, it has to be this year, right? They got to do something this year. My goodness.
The West is as winnable for them as it has been in a long time. So, yes.
We have, a number 6 seed and a number 7 seed? If you can get past Phoenix that you'd be facing.
Yep.
Goodness gracious.
The Lakers are still the Lakers. They do scare me. They're the only team.
But they're a 7 seed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also know Anthony Davis. He's a hair away from just fracturing his skull or something.
Right.
And if not, he's at least a hair away from falling down, rolling over, looking like he got taken down with sniper fire, only to get back up and be totally fine, which happens every day.
Flailing. Seven-footers flailing.
The NHL and we see a guy get 75 stitches in his skull and he came back and played.
You played that game.
My goodness, the NBA. The NBA's got some problems, gentlemen. I don't want to go too far down that rabbit hole, but the NBA has some problems. Yeah. Their players don't want to play. I don't understand it. They don't want to play. It drives me absolutely crazy. I'm not going to go down that. Finally, we reach the savvy, wily veteran. Larry, what final thoughts do you have for us as we finish up the NFL draft today?
Well, I am looking forward to year two of the Russell Wilson experiment. Sure. New head coach, ownership has a season under their belt. I think they flailed a little bit last year at times, but they're smart people. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think having an actual head coach is going to help and some refocus there. Other than that, it's fly fishing season. So
is that where we're at now?
That's where we're at.
Okay. Where's the best place to fly fish?
It depends on what you want to fish for or where the runoff is. You got your high lake trout lakes. You've got, a small stream, or you've got big river if you want to float it, Clint. You let me know what you want, and I'll make sure you get there.
Where would I fish for tacos? Because
fish tacos? Or
I don't really like fish that much. Can I get, like, carnitas?
We'll figure it out.
That's what
we'll
I would prefer, but I don't know where to – I have no idea where to catch pizza. I have no idea where they even swim. So if you can find that out for me, it would be greatly appreciated. Gentlemen, I would like to thank you all so much for stopping by the Daily Dose. We always enjoy your visits, but we especially like when we get to do these panel shows because they are very, very fun to do. Raymond, you got to take part in your first one. Thank you all for stopping by. Always enjoy when you come in.
Thanks,
man. Hey, next week on the Dose, the NBA and NHL playoffs are cruising along. And we just might have to take a brief look at the Major League Baseball season that is underway. So make sure you stop by the Daily Dose next week. and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to our illustrious panel, Mike, Larry, and Raymond, for stopping by the Dose and breaking down that 2023 NFL draft and playing a little trivia with us. And I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for checking out the new things going up every week at DailyDoseSports.com. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.